Hi guys, it is Sophia. Welcome to Life on Audio. Today we are talking about happiness and the pursuit of happiness. And this comes from a very specific song. Not sure if you've ever heard of it. It's called Pursuit of Happiness. Yes, the one that they play at frat parties. Okay, so the story behind that song, because it does actually have like a very sentimental meaning to me. It's kind of insane, which I think for most people, they probably would be confused as to why a song like that has a sentimental meaning to anyone, but it does. It does. And that's because back in 2020, just after I'd gotten into college, I think it was like April or May of 2020, I think I must have. So I was like already in the college mood. I think for me, by the time that I got into college, I was like, all right, clearly there's a raging pandemic and my senior year is not going the way I thought it was going to go. So I'm just going to think about college and get excited about that because I like fully thought, oh, by then, like this will all have gone away and I'm going to get the normal college experience, which spoiler, I didn't. But anyways, point is I was hopeful and I was kind of living in this like little delusional bubble in a sense where I was like, college is going to be so great and amazing. It's going to be the most like perfect time and blah, blah. And, you know, I was like so, maybe miserable is not the right way to put it, but I think in general, I was quite miserable throughout my teenage years, like my adolescent years. Well, technically, I might still be in adolescence, but specifically like high school. High school was rough. High school was just so rough. It was not my thing. It didn't end up working in my favor. And one thing that I was like really seeking out was happiness. In fact, I literally put it on my Christmas list for years on end, which I know it seems like a random thing to put on your Christmas list, but for me, I was like, whatever I want, I'm gonna throw it on there. Santa Claus can see it and like decide whether he wants to give me that or not. And I thought, why limit it to material items? Like, let's ask him for feelings too. And so yeah, I so badly wanted to be happy because I just didn't really know how to find happiness, and I didn't find it in the life that I was living in any way, shape, or form. And I was just looking for an out, really. And so anyways, by the time senior year comes around, specifically like when COVID hit, I honestly was like in a decently good place. I had also at this point gotten like mental health help, which was definitely something that helped kind of in the process of like getting a little better with life. But I think also I was just living in this daydream of like, what's next? And I really thought that college was going to be the time that I found my happy. And I don't know, I was just really hopeful that it was like this opportunity to kind of reinvent myself, reinvent my life, and finally live out the life and be the person that I wanted to be. And I don't know if anyone else has ever felt like that about a new chapter, but it was just like I was so stuck in the life that I was living in high school, and I knew that there was really no way to actually change it. Like, I could make like small strides, and I did, I tried, but I think for the most part there was this like specific label that was given to me by my peers, and it was so hard to change that label. And also I think with being at home, I tried so hard to be that perfect daughter, and I realized that finding my happiness would require me to kind of break that image of being the perfect daughter, or break the idea of needing to be the perfect daughter. And I just like couldn't get myself to do that. And you know what? It's totally fine that that was how it worked out, because obviously things got a lot better once I got into college, but still. So anyways, I must have looked up like I probably looked up like college party music or something like that on YouTube. I don't know, something of that sort. And one of the songs that came up was Pursuit of Happiness. So I start to listen to it, and it is like April 2020. Like, no one has left the house in weeks. There is really nothing exciting going on in life. And I just came out of having years straight where I was just in a really bad place mentally and just like really unhappy with life and just honestly miserable. And the song starts playing and it's like, I'm on the pursuit of happiness and I know. And I was like, I'm on the pursuit of happiness. Like, I am on the pursuit of happiness. Like, no. This song is made for me. I'm on the pursuit of happiness. I get this. Like, I totally get these lyrics, despite the fact that this is like a college party song, you know, and I was about to set myself up to hear it like hundreds of times at a frat party in a basement. I was like, this hits so hard. This hits so hard. So I think I started listening to it quite regularly at that point, and it was just like one of my favorite songs. It was like that and then UCLA by R.L. Grimes. Like, I was really getting into the college mood. And obviously then the pandemic continues on into my college first year of college, and now I'm not on campus, and I'm not really reinventing myself in a way. I felt like I was kind of the same person, just trying to get out of that bubble, but it was so hard while I was still at home. And then of course at some point, finally, moved away, finally was at college, finally was attending those parties that I thought I would attend. And life was like so different. It was honestly euphoric in a way, because that was what I wanted. That's the life that I had wanted, and I was living it. I remember seeing this comment. Yeah, because I made a TikTok when I was in Australia, and I think it was something about like, I don't know, but I think I said something about like my dream college experience. And of course, so many people know me from like saying that I hated college on the internet. And the thing is, did I hate college? No. I think there were some quarrels that I had with it. It wasn't exactly everything that I wanted, but I also had high expectations. It wasn't perfect by any means. But the thing is, if you take my life from high school and compare it to what it was in college, I was living the dream. I was living the dream because I was finally finding myself. I was able to reinvent myself. I was able to reinvent my life. And I was finally in a place where I was like, this is me. And I like this version of me. I had finally made it to where I want to be when I was in high school. And so, yeah, for that, like, that was the dream. It was a dream to be able to live that life. And I was quite literally living it. So it was very surreal. College didn't exactly go as I necessarily wanted it to. There were definitely some very, very, very low points. But the highs that I experienced in college were higher than anything I'd ever experienced in my life. And that was what made my college experience so special to me. So anyways, it goes into my rotation. And then of course, you know, once I finally get there, like every time it would come on at a party, I would be the loudest one in the room. I would literally be screaming it off the top of my lungs. And I would just like feel the song course through my body in that moment, as it did when I first listened to it, where I was like, this is my song. Like, this is my song. And what was it? Just a couple months ago, I was in Australia. And well, actually, I listened to the song a couple of times. It had been a while since I'd really properly listened to it. I mean, it's kind of like in my rotation. And obviously, like every time you go out, you usually hear it in some way, shape or form. Like, it's hard to miss the song. But I think I must have done this in Japan too. I started just like playing it for myself. And the one moment I can really pinpoint where I was like, this is like my made it moment. I was in Cairns. I was taking the Sky Rail. I think it's called the Sky Rail up to Kuranda. And it was like the most beautiful ride ever. It was, well, there were like multiple sections to it. So each section was about like 10 to 15 minutes. And just as I was about to hit the last one, I was like, oh my God, I have my AirPods with me. I have my phone. Like, let me play Pursuit of Happiness. So I'm sitting in this little gondola, Skyrail gondola, by myself. I'm looking out into the vast green, like I'm looking around me. I'm in Australia by myself. I feel so happy in that moment, like so much joy. I can feel it within me, in my body. And I play the song and I'm listening to it and I'm singing along with it. And it's like, I'll be oh my God, I might start crying. This sounds absurd, I know. But it's like, I'll be fine once I get there. I'll be good. And I was like, I am fine because I've gotten there. I know what happiness is. I've finally felt it. And I literally was like, getting so sentimental and emotional in that moment. And then of course the ride ended and I was like, oh, okay, I'm here. But I don't know, there was just something so beautiful about that moment. And I like listened to it a couple more times throughout that trip. Gosh, I'm trying to locate specific moments and now I'm blanking. I must have listened to it at least once when I was in Japan. I think when I was like walking around in Kyoto, I want to say. And then Singapore, not sure. Seoul, not sure. But then when I was on Nami Island, I was also feeling very euphoric. It was like kind of the perfect place. I was like, my gosh, I'm here and I'm in South Korea and I'm in this little cute island. And so I was like biking around listening to the Pursuit of Happiness. And yeah, it just felt like the biggest made it moment ever. And it was nothing about really achieving anything. It was just, no, I mean, I guess I achieved knowing what the feeling of happiness is like. And I can tell you for sure, I wasn't really feeling that when I was in high school. So it was like major that I can now stand here and explain what it feels like to be happy. And that's today's episode. Okay, no, it's not done. I don't know if that made it sound like it was done. Like I said, explained, I was on the pursuit of happiness all through high school. And I was realizing I was not going to find it where I was at. What I didn't realize at the time was happiness is not one of those things that just comes and gets you. It's one of those things that you're actually very capable of crafting on your own. It just takes a lot to do that. And not always do you find yourself in a position where you can craft that happiness or that it makes sense to craft that happiness. You know, there's so many moments in life where you just feel so extremely down or your life situation is just not great. And all you can do is idealize what life would be like if you were happy, if life was good. And it's hard to kind of look at your current life and be like, okay, where can I find happiness in this? And yet there is definitely that possibility. It's not that you cannot find happiness. It's just, I think it takes maturity to realize like, okay, I can try and craft my own happiness. How am I going to do this? And also there was this like coming of age for me in terms of happiness where I finally like took so long to get there. Even like when I first kind of started college, like I would have these moments where I'm like, I'm so happy and like this is happiness and stuff like that. But I didn't fully understand the concept as of yet. And I definitely didn't understand the concept of like making your own happiness. Like I was finding it in moments that were generally euphoric and like were good moments. But if things were bad, I didn't really know how to handle that. I didn't know how to like get myself out of that or just find happiness within that. The other thing that happened is literally my first quarter at UCLA, I took this writing class because it's mandatory. And our professor gave us this article I think we were supposed to write on like happiness, but it was like happiness versus contentment. And we were given these articles to read. And then I think it was supposed to be an argumentative essay on, I wish I could actually tell you what the topic was, but it was like, an argumentative essay on, is it better to be happy or is it better to be content? Something like that. And so obviously, you know, there are these articles and I read through the articles, and from the articles, I came to understand that what I was actually looking for wasn't exactly happiness, it was contentment. See, happiness is a fleeting feeling. This is literally what I wrote in my essay. Happiness is a fleeting feeling. It's something that you can feel for a small period of time, but it's not something that sticks around long term. It's a very short term thing. It's like in the moment you feel happy, or, you know, for a couple of seconds you feel like happy, whatever, you know, something like that. But what I think most people are actually looking for is contentment, because contentment is the ability to be in the state of being where generally you feel good. It doesn't mean that everything is good. It doesn't mean that life is perfect. No one's life is perfect, ultimately, okay? Even if you think someone's life is perfect, it's not. But it's the ability to take your life and in general, be happy about it or be good about it, like be content. I think most people probably, you know, listening to this know what the word content means, like to be content. And that was when I started to kind of change my perspective on the whole happiness thing, where it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I mean, it's nice to be happy. It's a good feeling. Who doesn't want to feel that way? But what I'm actually looking for is more of a long-term thing. And I want to be content. I want to be content with life. And it still took me years after writing this essay to actually figure out how to be content with life. Because while, yes, I did have many moments of happiness, many moments where I could feel it within me, although honestly, I feel like I didn't even feel it as like a physical reaction until more recently. But anyways, I could definitely like feel those moments where I could pinpoint those moments where I was like, I'm happy right now. Like, this is what being happy is. I still wasn't, you know, if something went south in my life, I was going south too. It wasn't like I could keep myself sort of level-headed and be like, okay, yes, this is not great, but let's look at our general life. Where are we at? Are we happy with it? And now I can finally say the answer is yes. I think generally I am very content with life. There are moments that definitely kind of tear me down and I'm like, ooh, life does not feel all rainbows and butterflies right now. But with that being said, if I looked at my general life, if I took a little step back and kind of 0.5'd it and I'm looking at my life, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm very content with my life. I'm generally happy with my life. I think the thing is, it wasn't until about a year ago, I literally realized this on this podcast. And this is why I'm actually grateful to have a podcast, because it's like, I don't know if I would have really come, I mean, I might have, but being able to share it outwards definitely like really reinforced it for me, because I've said it so many times. It wasn't until about a year ago, less actually, that I finally, I think it was about a year ago, that I finally came to understand what the cycle of life is. I say it's a roller coaster ride with highs and lows. You have to go through the lows to get to the highs, and they're going to be lows that follow the highs, stuff like that. And I've said this so many times in different episodes, and that really is kind of like such a crucial thing to understand to try and generate a content life. Because if you do not understand that there's going to be bad regardless, and you cannot necessarily control that, you're going to feel unhappy, because you're going to have those bad moments and it's going to kind of shatter your whole perception of it. Like, you can go from being really happy and then you have this moment where nothing's great and you're like, oh, well, there goes my happiness. Now I'm not happy anymore. But I think if you can recognize lows lead to highs and you're going to have lows, like there is no way to kind of cut the lows out of your life as much as you try and fight it. There's always going to be something that comes up eventually. If you can realize that, I feel like you kind of save yourself the grief of fluctuating in life and going from feeling things very strongly too. Because I feel like happiness is like a strong feeling. And that's why it's also short term, because you can't feel a strong feeling for a long period of time. It's the same thing with like, well, I was going to say that, but then I'm like, there's also stuff like depression and, you know, but I'm not talking about that. It's just like with stronger feelings negatively, like, yes, you can feel it in the moment, but feeling it long term generally connotes to, oh, there's something else wrong, which is where we have mental health illnesses. But in general, for the normal person who's not struggling with mental health, that period of sadness or that period of anger is, it's fleeting. It's not a forever thing or it's not a long-term thing. It's a fleeting feeling that someone has. And I feel like that ultimately is what you have to understand to be able to learn how to be content with your life. And I think because I didn't realize that for so long, it was like, yeah, when things were bad, I didn't know how to handle everything in a way where I could really take care of myself. I feel like there's also aspects of like self-love and self-respect. Like I feel like so many times when I was just feeling so low, I didn't know how to like take care of myself and be good to myself and find ways to craft my own happiness in little moments. And I think with time, I've come to understand like the little simplicities in life that make me happy, whether that is a donut from Publix, like that can spark like a little moment of joy when things aren't going so great. Or even, you know, sometimes what I've realized recently, it's like, okay, I don't get out of the house very often, but the other day I did. And okay, so basically I went to this interview for a modeling agency and it was like in this building. And when I was leaving, first off, someone was like, oh, like, have a nice day, ma'am. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. And automatically I just kind of like, I mean, I was already feeling good because I think the whole interview went well. And like going into it, I was terrified, scared. I was not feeling too great. I cannot lie. I was trying to feel great about it, but I wasn't. I was like, I'm really nervous. Like this could go. I also had like a rough couple of days just processing things. And I wasn't feeling too great mentally. I was like, I kind of wish I was in a better place mentally going into this, but let's see what happens. So I was feeling good. And then this guy says goodbye. And then I walk a little further. And then this lady's sitting there and she's like, oh, have a nice day. And I was like, have a nice day. And then the cherry on top was as I was like walking into the parking lot, there was, because this was like a joint in with this early registration site or early voting site. And there were these two guys like obviously working the early voting site in the parking lot. And they were like somewhat far away from me. Like I wasn't like walking near them. I was like across the like quote unquote road, parking lot road, whatever you want to call it, from them. And they look over and they're like, have a nice day. And I just felt so good. Like I was like, honestly, I really miss interactions with people. Or like there was also, I think it was on the same day. I then went to Publix and I was standing at the deli. And I don't know what this deli man was trying to do. I almost was like, was he trying to flirt with me? Like, it was a little bit of a strange interaction, but like kind of in the best way possible, where it was like, I asked, obviously like ordered my deli meat. I was like, can I have some prosciutto? Like half a quarter. And as he finishes up, he like starts talking to me and he's like explaining to me that I can like get a sandwich at the sandwich bar and get any meat on it. And like something about that just like made me happy. Like him explaining, I didn't understand why he was explaining it to me. Cause I was like, okay, I don't know. It just made me happy. It was like, it's like small interactions with people can make me happy, you know? So there's some moments I do really wish that I got out of the house more, just because I feel like every time, not always, but I feel like the majority of the times that I get out, I have like a special little interaction with someone, or I see something that makes me happy, or there's just a small like glimmer of hope in that moment. And yeah, it's like a small simplicity, you know? It's not like I'm going out of my way. Obviously I've, like I explained, you know, I was in Australia, blah, blah, like that's obviously very elaborate. Like I can't do that every day. Like my life isn't always going to look like that. That was like a one-off experience. And of course, like I was feeling very euphoric throughout that entire trip because I was doing something that I dreamt of doing for a really long time. When you're traveling, it's so cool. Like who isn't happy when they're traveling? Well, I'm sure there are people who aren't happy, but like it's hard not to be happy when you're traveling, especially when you're traveling alone and you get to like dictate everything and you get to see the world on your own. Like there's something so exciting and special and euphoric about that. But even just like in your everyday life, like just honestly getting out, seeing a butterfly, like anything that could potentially make you happy. I mean, yeah, what was my point here? I think with time you get to know yourself. And I feel like that's why I so urge people to like go on a journey of trying to figure out themselves as early as possible. Because if you can figure it out earlier on in life, then you're better set up. I feel like so many people go through such a large portion of their life not fully understanding who they are, who they're capable of being, not really believing in themselves or having that self-love. And I think that is so crucial to finding your happy because, oh my God, this just reminded me of something. Wait, I have to tell this story. But anyways, I feel like it's so easy to go through such a, especially like in the age that I'm in, I feel like there's so many people in their 20s who just do not know how to find contentment because it really does take a lot of maturity and it takes a lot of like self-reflection and all that self-reflection, self-love, self-respect. And unfortunately, a lot of people do not find that until later on in their life. And I feel like I'm like sounding egotistical about this, but I'm like really grateful that I realized this earlier on because I look at the things that I know and I'm like, I'm not sure other people really know this my age. I feel like when I hear people talk about it, they're always older. I feel like it's not people that are my age per se. And that's why I feel like I also feel a little bit of a disconnect sometimes because I'm like, guys, no, you don't understand. Like this information is revolutionary, but you have to figure it out for yourself. Because someone telling you, yes, maybe it'll spark some ideas in your head. Maybe it'll help you realize something. And then you can like delve further on your own journey. But ultimately, it's like, I can't tell you how many times my mom has told me something that like, obviously she knows because she's a lot older and wiser and she's experienced so much more of life. And I've just kind of brushed it off because I'm like, oh, this is not relevant to me. And then of course, like a couple of years later, I'm like, you know what? You were so right for that. You were so right for that. I just realized how right you were for that. For example, what was it? Oh, literally, was this yesterday or the day before? Same Publix situation, I think. Or no, this is a different Publix situation. I went to Publix like 3 times within 24 hours. Anyways, I'm at Publix and my mom's been doing this thing recently where for some, my parents have always been very frugal under consumer parents, like looking for a deal, looking for a discount, looking for a sale. My mom loves her sales, especially grocery store sales, eats it up. For her, it's like she won't buy certain things unless they're on sale. And so she's always been like that. But then more recently, she started to take it a step further where whenever we're in a store, she'll like ask them if they have like a discount, which at first I was like, girl, please, why are you doing this? What in the world? She did it at Michael's and it actually ended up paying off because they did have a discount for everything that we were getting. So it like ended up coming out a lot cheaper than the initial price, which I was like, okay, I see it, but I don't know how I feel about this. Like, anyways, I went to Publix and my mom was like, can you get these like specific like apple sauce pouches? And I saw that they were 2 for $7. This is a little embarrassing to admit because it's like, why did you not do the calculations beforehand? But I didn't. And usually when you're at Publix, like if something's on sale and it shows up on sale when you pick it up, then it should pop up as on sale on the like machine. And I did self-checkout. And so I'm like checking out and it was 2 for $7. I think I said that. So I scan the two and there's no sale that pops up. And automatically I'm like, oh my God, I didn't get the sale. Even though in hindsight, it was actually the right price. It just didn't pop up as a sale, which is a little odd because usually they like do have that. So automatically I seek assistance. And at some point a manager comes over and he's like, oh, how can I help you? And I was like, oh, this is still hadn't done the calculations in my head up to this moment. I was like, this was on sale and on here, it's not popping up as on sale. And he was like, okay, let me go. And so he checks and he comes back and then hands it over. He's taken one of my go-go squeezes or whatever they're called, go-go squeeze boxes. And I was like, okay, actually, can I have that back? Because at that point he had handed it over to a girl. And that was when it dawned upon me. I looked at the numbers again and I did the calculations and I was like, oh wait, no, that comes out to $7 because it was like $3.50. And I was like, that is $7. I do know how to do basic math. Why did I not do that before? And so automatically I'm like, okay, I'll go apologize. I'll just take back the go-go squeeze and tell them that I'm paying for it. No worries. I go back and she's like actually coming in my direction at this point. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I just did the calculations in my head. I realized I got it wrong. All is well. Let me just pay. And she was like, oh no, he's giving it to you for free. And I was like, excuse me? I was like, wait, no, like I was the one who messed up. So that was $3.50 deducted from, I don't even know what that situation was. Cause I was like, you should have come for me. And now, okay, thank you. But anyways, it's like one of those things where it's like, ultimately, I can tell you so much. I'm just sharing my experience. Ultimately, I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything, but I am hoping that maybe it like helps you realize something that allows you to go on your own journey with figuring this out for yourself. But ultimately, it's like with all of this kind of stuff, you're on your own in terms of figuring it out. And some people figure it out earlier in life. Some people figure it out later. There's nothing wrong with like being on a different timeline. nothing. I'm not saying that, oh, you know, I'm saying I wish people like figured this out earlier just because it saves you so much grief. But I feel like only recently have I started to come to terms with things that are in a way almost common sense, but it takes so much to actually realize it. And ultimately, like, I just wish that people could like realize that earlier solely because it actually helps you out so much. Like, it saves you so much grief and it allows you to like live a better life and all that. But I think really in terms of happiness, there's also this aspect of self-love and self-respect. And I think that's so difficult to come upon because it took me a long time to get there. And it also took such a long journey to realize that too. I thought self-love was one thing for the longest time. And then all of a sudden I realized my idea completely changed around because there was this whole other dimension to it that I had not uncovered yet. And I feel like I'm still in the process of learning. Like, it's not like I've reached completion in any way. I don't even know what I'm learning next because I'm like, I feel like I've uncovered quite a bit, but I'm sure there's always stuff to uncover. But I think it's just a process and it does take a long time to realize that. And everyone realizes it at their own pace and that's totally okay. But I also wanted to share just because I feel like if you can relate to any part of the story, maybe you find some sort of comfort in it because I guess also like when I was in high school, I was like, I want to be happy, but I had no guarantee of being happy. Like, I didn't know what happy was and I didn't know when I was going to find it. And I just hoped that I would find it eventually, but I had no clue if I ever would find it. It was a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unknown. And I think maybe hearing someone else's story can be inspiring. I feel like I'm definitely at that point in my life where with the things that I feel very uncertain about right now, when I hear someone else's story of doing something similar to what I'm doing or experiencing something similar to what I want to experience, I feel inspired by their story. I feel like I can actually make it there because I'm like, someone else could do it. It should happen for me as well. And that has been really empowering. But I don't know, honestly, if I was younger, I'm not sure if I had felt that way because I guess I would have probably seen other people and just been like, oh, like life is just so much easier for other people. And that's another thing you have to come to realize. Like, yes, okay, ultimately, privilege is privilege and life is easier for some people when it comes to certain things. But I think ultimately, when it comes to mental state and mental well-being, that's something you have to figure out for yourself. Obviously, I recognize that there are people who have life situations that make it very difficult to find peace in that because their life situation is very tumultuous. You know, I totally get it. Like, I'm not saying like everyone should just be happy and, you know, blah, blah. But I think for a lot of people, it really is just a matter of figuring out how to craft that happiness for themselves and taking a step back and thinking about who are they and what do they deserve and taking just a step back to like take a better look at your life and try and figure out how can I find contentment? Because ultimately, I think what you want is to be content. I think also once you find contentment, that's when you can really feel those moments of happiness strongly because then you can really cherish it. You can understand that, okay, this is fleeting. This is not, it's just gonna always be there. But when it does happen, like I can really feel it and I can like feel it within me. Like I feel like I actually have a physical reaction now to happiness. Whereas before it was like, I could feel it like in my mind. I was like, oh yeah, like I'm happy right now. But I don't know, like I've felt it genuinely like physically where it's like, I feel like my heart just like beaming a little and like something inside me like opening up and just like, it's like as if there's like sunshine inside me. That sounds so weird, but like that's actually how I feel. And yeah, I don't know. I share just to like, maybe someone will listen to this and be like, wait, I have an idea. Maybe this is what I should try. Anyways, this just reminds me of something from last year. I was actually going to mention this. So back in February of 2023, I started my journey with antidepressants. Note, I am not on antidepressants now. So I'm not sharing all of this on antidepressants because obviously that can very much help if that is something that you're struggling with. And that can probably help you find your happy or at least some contentment. Although I actually can't speak personally because I did this little journey of antidepressants thinking it was going to do something for me. And I look back and I swear that none of the antidepressants I tried ever actually did something for me mentally. I think it was always something else. And for a while I was like, oh my God, these antidepressants are working. Like I'm doing so much better. But I think really what it was my life situation. For me, it's less about, will I say that I've been depressed in the past? Absolutely. I've been diagnosed with it. Well, like depression and remission. So essentially, like it was a thing you had once upon a time, not anymore. But I think really for me, it's situational. It's not like, do I think that there's something a little off with my brain chemistry potentially? Well, I felt that very strongly for the longest time. I think specifically when I was in high school, I was like, there's something wrong with my brain chemistry. There's something off in there. Okay, some chemical imbalance. It's not right to be feeling this way or to think this way or whatever it is. But now it's harder for me to say. I feel like I'm like in a normal spot, obviously, but I've also had my fair share of mental health struggles. So it's a little hard to say that because it's like in comparison to where I've been in the past mentally, I would say I'm like pretty normal. But if you take someone who's never really like struggled with mental health, although I feel like everyone in some way, shape or form has struggled with mental health in one way or another. But let's say we take someone who like generally has been on the better end mental health wise. I don't know if their normal would compare to my normal, but I almost think it would. I'm not sure you can get much better than where I'm at now. I still struggle with things. I wouldn't say I'm perfect or I'm like in that higher like mental health spot or whatever you want to call it. But I definitely think I'm closer there than where I could be because I've also been like super low before. I don't know. It makes it difficult when you're like now trying to compare yourself to other people, but you don't know what another person's situation is and like how exactly it looks like. And so that makes it difficult. So I could be right. I could be wrong. I don't know. Anyways, I did this journey with antidepressants. The first one I tried was Zoloft. Cetralin, but I can't remember what the brand name of it is. It's something with a Z and it's something like Zoloft or something like that, but I think I have that wrong. Anyways, point is I started this when I was in my first relationship and my boyfriend at the time was taking Cetralin. And he was like raving about it, you know, like this poor man. I mean, he had actually like many mental health struggles and depression was just one of them. And so he was taking medication for a lot of this stuff. And so Cetralin was one of the things that he was taking. And he just always like talked so highly about it and how it just like really helped and all that. And so he was like, you're going to love it. It's going to be great, blah, blah. And the thing is like the reason why I decided to get on antidepressants was because I really felt at a loss at that point. I was so mentally unwell and just I didn't really have this like will to live. I was a functional human being who was like going through their day, doing the things that they needed to do. But like, I just didn't really want to be there. I just kind of wanted to be poof gone. And it was like really a mental struggle, like getting through the day and just like making it onto the other side. And so at that point I was like, I've tried therapy before. This is not the solution. I think I have to go to the next thing. And that was when I was like, okay, see a psychiatrist. I think antidepressants are what's going to do it for me. Okay. For Zoloft, Cetralin, I think I need to just keep it calling it by its medical name. Cetralin lasted on that exactly a day. It put me in the weirdest mental haze that I've ever been in. I have never been in such a trance before. I've been in trances before, but not a trance like that. That was scary. Like that was not me. And so obviously automatically off it because it was not good. Then they put me on another one, which I was on for a couple of months. I can't remember if this one was Lexapro or if it was a different one. Lexapro was either the second or third one that I tried. I just cannot remember. It worked fine. My life was looking up and I was doing better. And I obviously was like, oh my gosh, like the antidepressant is working. Only to realize sometime in May that I had another episode that was a reason why I realized I needed to get onto antidepressants. And at that point I was like, okay, well, I feel like if you're on antidepressants, you shouldn't still be having these episodes. So of course I went to my psychiatrist and she was like, all right, off that one, we're trying another one. And then we tried another one. And basically in August of last year, so the beginning of August of last year, I decided, you know what? I have a feeling none of this has been working at any point in time, because I truly do believe that if I had not been on antidepressants that entire time, my life would have looked exactly the same. And also, I think by that point, I was in this toxic situation with my ex-boyfriend, and I didn't want to admit it at the time, but that really affected my mental health. Like I was just falling back into familiar, unhealthy patterns where I was having like multiple episodes on end. And yeah, at that point, I kind of was like, well, I feel like if this was actually like working, I wouldn't have this. That's when I realized it was really situational for me. So at the beginning of August, I just got off it. I was like, I don't think this is really doing anything for me. And since then, I haven't felt the need to get back on. And I don't think I ever will get back on them, just because I really do look back and I'm like, I know it works for other people, but it did not work for me. At no point in time did it work for me. I thought it worked for me because there were things in my life that somehow it's a really a situational thing for me. So anyways, but one funny story from this whole situation was, I don't know if I've ever talked about this guy. Last summer, I went on a date with this guy who had very different political views and values than I did. Political, moral, just everything in between. We were so different in the way that we thought. It was kind of insane. I mean, it was a good date besides what comes afterwards, but it was a good date. He paid for the bill very seamlessly. Like I remember literally, because also I don't know if we ever really established that it was a date. It was sort of like I had expressed interest and we'd hung out once and gotten lunch together. but we didn't treat that as a date. And this was also shortly after my breakup. But then we went to dinner and then it was kind of a date. It was a confusing date. Anyways, this man was so interesting. The way I want a deep dive, but there's like so much in it. One thing in particular that happened, I don't know where it was in the line of like really weird things he said, at least in my opinion, weird. But at some point, I kind of mentioned that I was on antidepressants. I don't know why. And he was like, oh my God, Sophia, like we have to get you off of that. He was like, we're going to find your happy. And I was like, we're going to find my happy? Dude, I don't even know you. What do you mean you're going to help me find my happy? Like, I don't know you. I don't know if we're going to hang out again. Like, what in the world? Especially because this was like at the beginning of summer and like I was about to go away for my internship. Literally, I think I was like leaving in like a couple of days. I was like, excuse me. I was so confused. I was so confused as to what he was saying. And he was like explaining, he was like, I had a friend who like, you know, blah blah, like was gonna do something and blah blah, but like I helped him. He was just like rambling off about like how he helped his like friend. He was like a mental health savior or something like that. And like, again, I didn't need to be on antidepressants in hindsight, but in that moment I was still convinced that these antidepressants were doing something for me. So I was just there in disbelief. I'm pretty sure he was like laying on top of me or something like that in that moment, and I was like, excuse me, what do you mean you're gonna help me find my happy? I've been trying to find my happy, and also that's not even what I was looking for. Like, happy, whatever, but like I needed to be like in a better place mentally. Anyways, he also didn't believe in birth control, so that might give you an idea as to where that was going. Is it fair to say that he was also a virgin? That one made me laugh. I was like, oh really? I was not really expecting that from you. You kind of were giving like Playboy energy, but now I'm confused. I never ended up seeing him again after that. He still follows me on Instagram, I think. I don't follow him. Still follows me on Instagram, sometimes likes my stories. Less so now, but he used to. I have him on LinkedIn, actually. I don't know why I have him on LinkedIn. I had this sort of like LinkedIn craze at the time. And then I was like dating all of these guys or like seeing these guys. And then I would be like, oh my God, add me on LinkedIn. And some of them obliged, others did not. One of them did not oblige whatsoever. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, can you just add me on LinkedIn? Like, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, I just remembered I might have someone else on LinkedIn. Or maybe I unhadded him. I literally remember like we had this conversation. I was like, I think this is gonna end fairly well. So like, we're not gonna have a problem with like having each other on LinkedIn. Yeah, I still have him on LinkedIn. Yeah, I literally was like, I think this is gonna end pretty well. Like, and then it didn't end well whatsoever. And that was the irony, because I literally was like, no, I think this is actually going to be a good situation, like for the both of us. Ultimately, what I have to say is finding your own happiness, being on the pursuit of happiness, is a journey you have to take on your own. I cannot tell you how the journey goes for you. I cannot tell you what to do, where to start. With that being said, I will always recommend that you learn how to practice self-love. And this isn't just like in the physical dimension. I could give you all the tips on like how to learn how to love your body, love the way you look, love who you are, like externally. But that's only half of it. There's the other dimension of learning how to love yourself internally and understanding really who you are, what your needs are, what your desires are, and how to fulfill that for yourself. Because I feel like so often we look at other people to help us with that, to give us that, and that's not the ultimate solution. I think we think it is. I think we think that, oh, a partner or a friend or a parent or a sibling is going to give us this happiness. And yes, while you can definitely find happiness in that, it's usually temporary. At some point, you have to find that happiness for yourself. Because if you can find that happiness for yourself, then you're so capable of so much. And then also, you're able to, you don't depend on people. I think the thing is, for a good while, I was very dependent on people for my own happiness. And I had this very specific situation when I was in high school that kind of made me realize, like, I can't put all of my eggs in one basket and expect that someone is going to be able to give me all the happiness in the world. I had this best friend, and I think I really enjoyed being around her when we first started. I think we basically just decided we were going to be best friends. Like, we were like, we're going to be best friends. And then we started hanging out, and it was always a good time, and I really enjoyed it. And it was such a like breath of fresh air from everything else that was going on in my life, especially because I was struggling a lot mentally at the time. Like, I was really struggling mentally. But when I was with her, I didn't feel that way. And so I kind of thought, oh, she's giving me my happiness. But with time, I realized, no, like, I can't completely rely on her for my happiness. I can be happy around her, but I can't expect her to give me my happiness. And so I had to learn how to disconnect from that. And I probably fell a little bit victim to this when I was in my first relationship. I was more knowledgeable at this point because I'd had that initial experience where I was like, oh, I know how this goes now. But I do think that there was still a part of me that kind of like, when I always sort of thought like, oh, having a boyfriend is going to be the solution to my problems. And turns out, no, it was not the solution to my problems, but also you can't rely on someone else for your happiness. And I think the best way to start practicing some self-love and getting into that position of being able to generate your own happiness and being able to take care of yourself is kind of doing like small things for yourself. Spending some time trying to figure out like, what do I like in life? And when you're feeling down, trying to provide yourself with that, whether that is some flowers, whether that is spending some time in nature, whether that is interacting with other people. You're not always going to have everything you need, but trying to like see whether when you're feeling down. And also I feel like so many times when we feel down, we're kind of like in this trance where we don't want to try anything. We might know deep down that something is good for us and something's going to help us feel better. It's almost like holding a grudge against that like happy thing. You're like, no, I need to just like feel the sorrow and blah, blah. At least this is how I felt in the past. I was like, when I'm miserable, like I'm miserable. Like I'm not even looking for happiness. Like I don't want to find it. Like I just want to feel miserable. And that's okay too. But ultimately you have to recognize that that is just kind of like adding to this feeling of generally being miserable and not being able to find that contentment. And if you can disassociate from that, and when you do feel low, think about what would make me feel better. Sometimes it doesn't really make sense to other people, but it's like, what would make me feel better right now? You have to listen to what your body and your mind need. And if your body and your mind needs to rot in bed for a couple of hours or a day or whatever, however long, do that. If your body and your mind needs to get out, do that. If your body and your mind needs like a sweet treat or something that, you know, will like just like make you a little happy, like do that. Anyways, I think the main reason why I actually initially thought of this episode, I should have said this earlier, but here it is now, is I'm taking this TikTok break. I've mentioned it so many times in so many different episodes. I don't know how many times you're gonna have to hear this. I'm so sorry if you've, it's literally like a redundant thing at this point, but I'm taking this TikTok break. And taking this TikTok break has made me realize that this is me crafting my own happiness. Because what I've realized is, it's been 6 days now. I'm like counting it. Like it's like a, I don't know. But anyways, it's been 6 days now since I've been off of TikTok. And what I've realized in these past 6 days is that I have generally been so much more content with life. And I realized that in my real life, I'm actually very content with where I'm at. Yes, there are certain things that feel uncomfortable. There are certain moments where I feel a little low. I definitely worry about the future a lot. Okay, it's not all rainbows and butterflies. I can't lie. But I am very happy with where I'm at in terms of being able to chase my dreams and to see where it goes. And today I have been feeling a little bit of anxiety about like the future. I can't lie. I literally was like on LinkedIn earlier today. And I think one thing I've been looking at is just like a part-time sort of thing. I'm like, maybe I need to like have a little bit of balance where I have more like a stable, consistent thing that's part-time. Also just being able to get paid, I think would be helpful because I don't have like a consistent stream of income. And that definitely scares me a little bit. Like it's obviously I have stuff saved up, but it's not like life feels a little better when you know that there's going to be a paycheck hitting your bank account every so often. But anyways, I have that. So that was something I was doing earlier today. And then obviously, like if it was like part-time, it has to be part-time remote because A, I can't take myself anywhere. I would need like a part-time remote situation. And I'm not sure how easy that is to find since the job market is a little wonky right now. And also I don't even really know how to like find what I'm looking for per se. That or like freelance. It's one or the other, but just something where I can like be doing something every so often. Like even if it's like 20 hours a week, I feel like 20 hours a week is a max, at least for now. But I don't know. Let's keep our fingers crossed that I can somehow locate something and then also get it because that's like the second part. Like I recently applied to like a part-time social media marketing position that I had actually seen on TikTok, but I'm sure a ton of people applied. And also maybe I should reach out. I don't know if reaching out is a good idea, but I am very interested. Like it's kind of like the perfect situation. If I could find something else like that, if this doesn't work out, then that would be great. I would happily take that. But anyways, what am I getting at? Okay, life is not all rainbows and butterflies. I definitely have my fears and my quarrels and, you know, the whole thing. But as I've been off of TikTok, I've realized, no, I'm a lot more content with my life than I have been. Being on TikTok just sends me into like little spirals. And also I'm like, in my real life, things are pretty good and I'm pretty good with where I'm at. And it's not perfect. And I know I'm not going to be here forever, but I went like today I obviously was having a little bit of like a nervous moment, but like I went 5 days straight where I didn't think about something bad regarding my situation, as in like, I didn't spiral about the future. I didn't spiral about life or where I'm at. And I feel like when I'm on TikTok, I do that so much more often. And also like just engaging with people. It's like if people are gonna like, it's hard to filter through what you see and who you interact with and who interacts with you and all that. And it's like, you know, I could always be on TikTok and not post, but then I'm at that point, I would just not be on TikTok, period, because I think not healthy regardless. But yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a, I'm like in a little bit of this like situation where I'm like, I'm recognizing that this is what has been crafting a lot of discontentment for me and unhappiness. And I think maybe eliminating it from my life could be the solution to at least crafting more happiness in general. Happiness that exists, it just needs to be brought out. So I don't know about that. I'm still very much like, what do I do? Like, I don't know. But point is, we'll figure that out one day. Today's just not that day, unfortunately. But yeah, anyways, that's all to say. I think it's a journey you have to go on. And I trust that everyone will go on to that journey at some point. I think everyone does. So if you haven't found happiness just yet or contentment, know that it's not that you're never going to find it. It's going to come to you eventually. It might take longer than you think it does. But in the meantime, I think just think about it a little bit more and think about what I said. Think about if there's anything that you can think of like doing for yourself based off of my experience with this journey. Maybe it makes you realize something. Maybe it inspires you to try something. Maybe it gives you a little epiphany. I don't know. And if not, this is just hope that it's going to happen for you eventually as well. Because trust me, I really wasn't sure if it was going to happen for me. I was really hoping it would, but I wasn't sure. And now I can happily sit here and say it did. And I can fully explain what the feeling of happiness is and also what the state of being content is. And that is a very great feeling. So anyways, I think that's it for me. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you guys in my episode next week. Bye. Love you all.